From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show. Well, how the hell are you this evening, my Circle of Intimacy? It's good to have you here. It's Friday. We actually made it this week. Can you actually believe this shit? And you know something? Sometimes truth is better than fiction. You know, there's been a lot been going on in the outside world, and we'll get to that stuff in just a little bit. But there's a lot that's been going on the inside world over here. So LP has been sitting over here diligently working, and, you know, AMR had nothing better to do. So she starts going over, you know, this touches on that whole home projects thing that was going on with Krim last night. And she's like, hey, does anybody have any home projects they're doing and stuff? And I was kind of like thinking to myself, maybe I should say something. And then, you know, we saw some of her projects, and I'm like, you know, I'll go ahead and I'll wait till tomorrow night. So what winds up happening is AMR decided that she's going to go ahead and put a lot of soundproofing and stuff in here and create sort of a studio feel. So we're actually a little bit closer, can you believe it, to freaking streaming. You know what I'm saying?
That's a scam!
Yeah, like actual live streaming. Could you imagine seeing my ugly mug on a fucking on a screen over here? And I've actually got like a space and everything. Now, it's not as elegant and as wonderful as Krim's are, right? I don't have like, you know, meth lab rescue plants sitting over here that are dying for an intervention. But, you know, I got my own little taste of everything and kind of shit spruced up here and there. So we'll see how it all goes. Hey, it's Friday night. We've had a lot of shit go on in the markets and all that stuff. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Because what winds up happening is yours truly didn't ever really get into, like, home projects and shit like that. Like, I'm not sitting here going, hey, fuck it, I need a bandsaw because I got to build something in my basement. Hey, Carlos, do we even...
No.
Yeah, fuck no. You won't even let me finish because you know for a fact that that's just not how it is. So where did LP's energy go into? It got sucked into pandemic TV. Just like everything else, what is more like comforting than a warm couch or even a cold couch? How about a couch to go ahead and make a depression for your ass to fit perfectly in and grab like a cup of coffee? Because you know something? If anybody knows LP, aside from whiskey, my second favorite drink is coffee. You know what I'm saying? Because I guess you got to sort of counteract it. It reminds me of when I was doing driver's education, and the guy that was teaching the class was a football team coach, and he was just this, like, fucking militant teetotaler. And he'd sit there, and he'd be like, you know what? Don't you think that fucking coffee does anything to go ahead and sober you up? It just creates a more wide-awake drunk. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, career goals. Career goals, man. But at any rate, I digress. So pandemic TV sucks me in, right? And I get sucked into a TV series called Dangerous Grounds with Todd Carmichael. Now, the whole thing about this story or about this series, I don't know if anybody here has actually seen it, is this dude will go to the ends of the earth in these weird fucking territories to get the most exotic and exclusive coffee. Don't judge. Don't judge. And, you know, to go ahead and bring him to his celebrity customers like Mario Batali. You know, Mario Batali, who's been shamed because of the fact that he and his good friend that had the Spotted Pig restaurant had a rape room where they were having their freaking, you know, hostesses and stuff after hours doing parties and effectively getting molested and raped over inside of them. You know, people like that of high quality and character, of course, but allegedly, right? But you know, Todd Carmichael, in addition to him, he's got a bunch of other people. And no, he's not going to some upscale exotic pet shop to get a civet monkey to go shit out coffee beans for his clients and their ever stupid demands. He legitimately goes to all of these fucked up weird places to go ahead and risk his life for coffee. So, for instance, at one point he decides he's going to go to the Golden Triangle in Thailand. And he's trying to get some coffee out, and he needs to get it to the U.S. in 6 weeks. And the guy's laughing at him, saying, that's just not possible. So this dude is like, well, let's see, Myanmar just went ahead and opened up. Let me go ahead and see if I can get a port over there. And the guy's like, you don't want to go to Myanmar, because what happens is over there, that place is like a fucking police terror organization in a dictatorship. And dude, you could get chucked in jail. They're not kind to Americans. If I was an American, I wouldn't go there. So he's like, ah, fuck it. I got to get my coffee over to the place because I've got to keep my promise. Now, let's stop there for just a second. There are some times in life, right, kids, where maybe what winds up happening is you might want to go ahead and reconsider that over-promise, under-promise and over-deliver thing, right? You might want to say, you know, I don't think it's possible. You're going to get delayed about 2 weeks. Now, he goes over to Myanmar, and they won't let him in because he doesn't have papers for the truck. And then after that, he's like, well, what if I go inside there and I find somebody to transport the stuff over to the other places? Now, Myanmar's very much like North Korea, right? And the guy says, I'll tell you what, we'll let you go in by foot. Sure, you can bring this stuff over. But you're going to have to surrender your passport over here as collateral. And we're only going to give you a 24-hour pass to get inside this place. And he's kind of like, ah, shit, I don't know what to do. Okay, sure, here's my passport. So he goes inside there and tries to go ahead and get his coffee shipped over to the to America to try and bypass the logjam that was happening over in the Thai ports. I'm not going to ruin the rest of the story because there's another one that's even more fucked up than that. He goes to Mexico to go get this coffee for some, I don't know, obnoxious French chef or whatever. And when he's over in freaking Mexico, he has to go into a region that's occupied and controlled by the Zetas. And when he's over in that particular region, he's like told, you know, he meets his contact guy's like, no camera, nothing like that. You don't trust anybody when you go into this place, okay? There's a couple rules. One, don't carry any money with you. They'll kill you and take it. Two, don't travel at night. The Zetas rule the road, right? Three, don't trust anybody. He's like, okay, no problem. He gets over to the place where he's supposed to meet his contact in the Zeta region. Dude was shot the day before. He's got $20,000 cash that he's carrying on him because he's got to go make a deal with some of the farmers that are over in this place. And he keeps putting himself in a situation where he's got a truck. He drives through the mountain range. He's like, fuck, man. Can we go ahead and stay here overnight? They're like, no, you got to get the fuck out of my house. And so he's got to drive all the way back when he's sitting, you know, inside of his truck. And at one point, his cameraman, codenamed Hollywood, looks at him. He goes, you know, you're fucking violating every rule that you said you'd follow. So in sort of like the whole ban of that, or in sort of that entire genre, if you will, what winds up happening is I got sucked into this one episode in particular where he decides that I'm going to go over to Iceland. Now, let's stop right there for a second, right? Iceland is not freaking synonymous with beer. I'm not thinking like high altitude, shade grown coffee exclusive to a fucking region. You know, it's got like 6 feet of snow. It's whatever and everything. But he went over to deal with this brewery called Einstuk, I guess it is, that's over in Iceland to create a coffee-infused beer, right? Now, I'll tell you what is synonymous with Iceland, right? When I think Iceland, coffee doesn't come to mind, but I'll tell you what actually does. It's this fantastic cousin-kissing application over here. That's right, kids. So in Iceland, since they've got a population that's only like 325,000 people, apparently it's very common for them to run into people who, in the bar, for instance, and they've got a very liberal view on sex in the society. Females will buy men drinks, and they generally will go out and have sex on the first date rather than go ahead and sort of like delay, wait, commit, put a lot of time into things, and then find out in the end that the sex sucks. So in order to counteract this stuff, this company basically went ahead and created a smartphone app to help Icelanders avoid accidental incest. And what you do is the users bump the two phones together so that they bump the app before they bump in bed and don't cause a little incest problem over there, right? Now, the interesting thing about this is I can think of a few trailer parks here in the U.S. that share the same heritage and the same problem as Iceland. And, I mean, what do you do when almost everybody in the trailer park and the local Walmart are distantly related and you're looking for love regardless of how brief, right? I think, personally, it's inherently racist that Iceland over here is sitting here and keeping this all to themselves. You know what I'm saying?
How dare you?
Yeah, exactly, man. They should be going ahead and being ambassadors of goodwill and solving this problem worldwide. But I digress, right? So he goes over there and he's supposed to go meet up with somebody to go kind of like go around. So Todd goes to Reykjavik and he meets up with this dude, Siggy, who's like a famous Iceland artist because he formed the band The Sugar Cubes. And you're probably sitting there asking yourself, you know, the Sugar Cubes?
I mean, what the fuck?
Who are these people? Well, it turns out the Sugar Cubes are actually the band that Bjork first was discovered in. So the Sugar Cubes launched her career. Yes, looking for love in all the wrong places. Exactly, Clay. Exactly. So what winds up happening is he's like, you know, before we go and actually sort of take a, you know, go to this place and do some coffee-infused beer and all that shit, what we're going to wind up doing is we got to go out and get a bite to eat so you can actually enjoy the cultural heritage of Iceland. So he goes to this one bar where he has like a, you know, a bourbon drink, finds out beer was illegal until like, I think it was 1926. And he's sitting there drinking this drink. He's like, what have you got inside here? Because it's like some strange mixture. And she's like, oh, yeah, we pour some smoked duck fat inside of this thing so that it tastes.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, I mean, I guess you take what resources you have in the area. But whatever. He's like, oh, that's interesting. You know, I guess I'll have another. So then what winds up happening is the unofficial national food of Iceland happens to be hot dogs. So Siggy takes him to a hot dog stand. He's like, you know, I got some other ideas as far as where we'll go because, you know, Bill Clinton and everybody comes here, but we're going to give you the real tour of the real Iceland. And that's the moment when you sit there and ask yourself, what the fuck have I gotten myself into? And you know what the answer was? Should have been, right?
He should. How about new?
Yeah, that should have been what he said, but that's not what he said. He's like, okay, sure. So we have this great moments and misadventures and late night greasy spoon dining that happens, right? So you know what it is. It's usually that moment when we sit there and we order off the menu at the greasy spoon. Something sounded good, you know, in the drunken haze, like Crisco croquettes with a light durian fruit vinaigrette, dipping sauce, and maybe a Slim Jim encased in a tripe crudo. Something like that, right? Because what winds up happening is it sounds incredibly ethnic, right?
How dare you?
I know. It sounds elevated. It sounds inspired, like most of the dishes over at like the Waffle House or the Quick Stop in a drunken haze, you know, like when you walk inside there and you're like, ooh, scrapple filled omelets. It sounds like it's something eclectic. And then you find out that it's just spam that some dude threw inside the fucking eggs while he was hanging out over the grill, smoking a cigarette, filling your order, right? Or when you go over to like to the 7-Eleven and you're feeling daring, so you take a look at that turbo dog wrapped up inside of a fucking burrito that's just been rolling there for like, I don't know, 6 days or whatever. It's got like a crispy cling film outside coating, and it comes with some mysterious neon fucking yellow dipping sauce called cheese, but really they call it air quotes queso because it's culturally appropriating and destroying Mexican heritage, right? I mean, shit. 7-Eleven is inherently racist, but I digress, right? Then the harsh reality comes in of the train of the car wreck you experience, and it's so far from what the shit-faced Epicurean food critic in your head promised, right? So now that brilliant drunken fucktard in your head that inspired these menu choices that you went ahead and did, nowhere to be found. You're asking yourself, what in the fuck is going on? Why did I order this? And it's nowhere to go. Nowhere to fucking go. So then from there, right, you're basically stuck reaching for Pepto-Bismol like it's your fucking long-lost booty call, right? You're not doing it out of love. Maybe you don't really want to go ahead and hang out with the Pepto and get intimate with it, but it's like salvation in a moment of desperation. So you cling to that Pepto for everything it's worth, and you do filthy things to that bottle that you would never do to farm animals, right? Am I right? It's something like that. So at any rate, Todd and his friend go ahead and hit the quick stop to go pick up their drunken haze like midnight snack. So what does he wind up getting? He's like, I'm going to get you something weird and eclectic here. They get a smoked fucking sheep's head, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
Let's say that again. A smoked fucking sheep's head. I mean, you could see the whole fucking carcass, the eyes and everything still sitting in there. So it looks like it, you know, this whole thing when he goes ahead and buys it, it's in a drive-thru, it's an old bus station. The fucker is like saran wrapped like some desiccated corpse in a fucking body bag. You know, like that 7-Eleven turbo dog that's been sitting on the rollers under the heat lamp for like a week with a side of instant mashed potatoes and a fucking egg yolk. So, please note, they bypassed grabbing the desiccated slice of pineapple pizza that they could have gotten under the warming right lamp because why? Because it's rightly viewed as being more disgusting than the fucking sheep's head.
I mean, what the fuck?
Oops, wrong button. Should have been this one. Right, because fruit sitting on top of pizza, particularly tropical fruit, and over in a frozen Nordic wasteland has no business being on the fucking menu. You know what I'm saying? Hey, does it have any business being on the menu over there? I mean, just...
How about new?
Fuck no! But we're going to go ahead and put it over there because we're westernized! We're fucking westernized! So, after they have that actual fucking just complete and utter freaking midnight misappropriated fucking... what did I call that earlier? The misadventures in late night greasy spoon dining. Then he's like, you know what we got to do? We got to set off and go check out some of the other cultural heritage over here inside of like Iceland. And you're probably asking yourself or saying, dude, that sheep's head, it's coming at me. We can't be doing that. So Siggy, not to be dissuaded or told no, decides to take him to the local music festival because, well, he's a star over in Iceland. So he gets to go into the music festival for free. And in possibly the most epic misadventure and cultural appropriation in human history, he takes him to see an Icelandic reggae band, right?
That's a scam!
Dude, let me just say that again. An Icelandic reggae band. And you're probably asking yourself, how the fuck do I wrap my head around that? No problem. Let's sample a little bit of it just for a minute here. There's something inherently wrong with reggae in the native tongue of Iceland. It just doesn't fucking compute. It's like a Klingon sitting there singing arias and shit like that. So I just, listening to this shit, I'm like, you know, nothing says Viking raiding party filled with fearless berserker warriors quite like Icelandic reggae with steel drums and a spliff. I mean, who the fuck knew that Ragnar Lothbrok and his sons were really just Rastafarians spreading the wisdom of Jah? Apparently this is a thing over in Iceland now. So I'm thinking to myself that at some point in my life, maybe after this whole thing is over, this fucking epidemic, I've got to go over to Iceland and experience this just for myself. Now, in the end, he actually does make the coffee-infused beer. Yes, I have tasted it before, and it's interestingly different. I'll put it to you that way. But I'll tell you, this has got to be probably one of the, the greatest episodes of cultural appropriation. You know, when you're sitting here looking at a bunch of Nordic dudes with blue eyes, you know, cornrows, jaw, singing Rastafarian, you know, shit and reggae, it's, I'm wondering where everybody is that's supposed to be screaming at diplomats about they can't take our culture away from us like that. But, you know, we're not going to go ahead and get into that because that's a very sensitive topic.
How
you know?
Dare you?
And we've got more important fish to fry, like what's going on with Robin Hood. And you know what? Maybe we'll get to that right after this break. So, yeah, that song about everybody gets a Valentine. Before we get into the fun, excuse me a sec. Before we get into the fun about Robin Hood and all this shit, that song, everybody, what you got to give everybody a Valentine. So there's this one particular person in her class that's this dude. I won't use his real name, but there's this dude that clearly is turning into the class bully. So he's the asshole, right? He's basically picking on everybody around him and all that stuff. And, you know, when you're a parent, ultimately, what you've got to do is you've got to go ahead and teach your child, hey, try to take the civil approach first. Well, what if that doesn't work? And what if he hits me? Well, you're free to hit him in any, you know, you're free to defend yourself. well, Dad, how should I defend myself? So he had a whole lesson on how to take him out fairly quickly based upon when I was busy doing cage fighting. So, yeah, I taught her a little bit of Muay Thai in terms of where to strike and all that. And then we started talking about dirty boxing. But I digress. Before I get into all that stuff, what winds up happening is she, the other day when she's telling us about this, I start humming that song, You Gotta Give Everyone a Valentine. And no, Clay, there's much more effective ways to go ahead and get rid of somebody quick. So throw punches are good, but there's better ways to and more effective ways to get them. But that being said, I started humming that part, You Gotta Give Everyone a Valentine, even, and then I insert his name, the kid's name inside there, even so on, you know, this person, even though he is an asshole, and she starts laughing her ass off. And she's like, could you sing that again, Dad? Could you sing that again, Dad? I said, listen, I know you're going to want to hear the song, but I need you to do one thing for me, hon. Please, whatever you do, don't put his name in there when you're walking around singing in the classroom, okay? And she's, okay, Dad. So every time she'd walk by him, she would hum, You gotta give everyone a Valentine, even though he is an asshole. And I'm like, you're so going to get me more phone calls, hon. You just got to stop. Just stop, okay? So we're in the middle of going ahead. You're asking whether or not she picked some songs, Ron. Well, yeah, she picked You Gotta Give Everyone a Valentine. So there you go. All right, man, enough of that shit. We're off topic here tonight. Is there a topic or something like that over here? I mean, I'm just wondering.
No.
Not really. So funny shit's been going on with Robin Hood. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, regurgitate what's been said. I'm not going to sit here and go through it step by step. One of the things that kind of got me as I was going through this, right, is people were sitting there effectively saying, oh, well, you know, whatever, they're just fucking with them and so on and so forth. And people are legitimately buying this to go ahead and say, screw the hedge funds. But I'll tell you something. I thought the absolute best measure of how far the phrase, fuck those hedge funds in particular, he got into, because, you know, Melvin Capital had a couple of margin calls and shit like that, was when yesterday Blockbuster Incorporated, the liquidation company for Blockbuster, mind you, it's bankrupt, so this is just to go ahead and finish doling out all the assets and auctioning them off and satisfying creditors and everything. Well, yesterday, it surged 3,500% over a five-day period, and the company has not filed a single SEC report since 2012. Okay? And the best part about this whole game is one of the things that popped up was that apparently, I believe it was Melvin Capital, the word on the street was for every $7 GameStop increased, it equated to another $1 billion in unrecognized losses from Melvin Capital. So, of course, the way that it generally works is you're going to get a phone call or a letter that says margin call, and you're going to have to go ahead and effectively come up with some cash to cover your positions, or they're going to start liquidating you. And I won't get into the whole thing, but ultimately what wound up happening was Citadel went ahead and bailed them out, and because Citadel basically owns a piece of them. Well, the funnier part about this whole thing happened to be as it pertains to Robin Hood. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Robin Hood, he leaves behind. Yeah, I know. I know. It's it is what it is. Now, Robin Hood, if you're not familiar with who they are, ultimately Robin Hood created this whole platform where it was supposedly free trades that you would be able to do, and you could do leverage stuff, you could do options, all kinds of stuff, and a whole bunch of Gen Zers and everybody flocked over to it. And the reason why they called it Robin Hood, because they were supposedly democratizing the way trading was done. And they're going to make it for the common person and all of that shit, right? Now, let me just go ahead and give you a little bit of insight on who Robin Hood is before we get into the really funny shit that's been going on and how comeuppances happen, right? Robin Hood is the same company that unleashed the first ever initial bankruptcy offering when Hertz, the car rental service, went into bankruptcy earlier this year and was compelled by the courts to sell assets. The person who was in charge of actually doling out these assets and managing this was the guy who came up with the idea for an initial bankruptcy offering, right? Effectively, what you're doing is you're saying, sure, let me go ahead and buy a bunch of stock in a company that'll cease to exist and lose my entire investment. So nobody would go ahead and touch this except for, of course, one platform. That would be Robinhood. So Hertz issued all of these IBO shares, which never occurred in history, and how in the fuck the SEC even let that happen is a completely different story in and of itself. But they're like, sure, if these suckers want to go ahead and do it, Robinhood goes ahead and puts it out there. Fucking shares surge on Robinhood. And when you're doing an IPO, all the money that's gained from those things goes into the coffers of the actual company. So effectively, they went ahead and put out these bullshit shares that really had no value to get all the money from these people who are investing in Hertz. They also instigated a pump and dump and sucked all these kids in, grabbed all their cash, and effectively paid off their debtors at full value on the dollar so that they could somehow maintain, some sort of integrity or perhaps bring the company back at a later date, and fucking destroyed all these people. Okay, so that's the Robinhood we're talking about here. So now Robinhood, the way that Robinhood works is interesting in that Citadel Capital is involved. Notice how that keeps coming up. Well, I'm not going to get into the behind-the-scenes stuff of this whole thing because Ron has actually asked me to go ahead and potentially go on his show on Monday and start to kind of talk through some of this stuff. Instead, kids, what we'll talk about is the funny fucking shit that has just happened here. Let's just say that Robinhood at this point in time is having problems going ahead and meeting the margin that they have to go ahead and put up to people like Citadel Capital and a much larger group that comes together, that which is called the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation, which is the people that actually are the market makers for the market themselves. This is how Robinhood gets these shares, if you will. So effectively what winds up happening is Robinhood winds up running into a bit of a problem just recently on Thursday. So the co-founder and CEO, Vlad Tenev, was on CNBC being grilled by Andrew Ross Sorkin about whether the firm was selling out the customer and core users who made it a success. He and the firm said they acted preemptively in cutting off trades and cashed out some customers' positions, attempting to make it clear that the firm didn't need any liquidity. We absolutely did not do this at the direction of any market maker. The reason we did it was because Robinhood is a brokerage firm and we have lots of financial requirements, including SEC Met Capital requirements. So Friday morning, Bloomberg comes out and reports Robinhood and its fellow discount brokerages were forced by the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation to put up more capital as collateral and demand that, as Tenev said yesterday, the firm could not ignore. So basically, Robinhood was effectively margin called. So the firm immediately went into crisis mode, because when you're margin called, you generally have 24 hours to meet the margin call and produce more liquidity, or your position is liquidated. So they were freaked the fuck out, so they drew on lines of credit from six banks amounting to between $500 million and $600 million to meet their higher margin requirements. However, Robinhood still needed more cash quickly to ensure that it didn't have to place further limits on customer trading. So if you remember what happened to, today, Robinhood effectively yesterday shut down any ability to buy anything, except if you're an institution or a hedge fund. You could only sell. If you had a winning position where you had purchased on leverage and you were actually making money on it and you were in the green, Robinhood liquidated you immediately so that they could free up some shares. The crisis that you're seeing here now is you're seeing a situation where what winds up happening is the people that are over inside of Reddit, that are in Wall Street Bets, these people have effectively bought every share possible on the open market right now. There's no float available for people to who are in a short position to even cover their short right now. They can't. So the more this keeps going up, the worse it gets, and a forced liquidation is going to happen. They're going to either have to raise the money and cover the margin as it keeps skyrocketing higher and higher, or they're going to have to eat billions and billions and billions in losses because they decided to essentially, it is an infinite short run right now. It is exactly that. And it gets worse because what winds up happening is there's a group inside there, Melvin Capital was guilty of it as well, of doing naked shorting. So they effectively sold shares, or a promise to they promised to sell some shares that they would purchase later. They never secured the shares to sell before they shorted. So now they're sitting there basically committing fraud, saying that they've actually done this. And then on top of that, whatever they did have, they leveraged at rates higher than you could on BitMEX. So it's more than 100x. So effectively what's winding up happening is they've committed fraud, and once and they've gotten pinched for it now because they can't cover their shorts. There's nothing there. They never had the stuff there in the first place to do it. And naked shorts are like felonies, right? So we're talking about something very serious here. So at any rate, they drew on this and they're like, well, shit, we need more money, right? Because they don't have enough. So Robinhood then turned around and contacted a bunch of their investors, you know, familiar capital firms like Sequoia and Rabbit Capital, who came together on Thursday night to offer the emergency funding. So they got them $1 billion in liquidity. One freaking billion. Okay? That's a shitload of money. And apparently that's not enough. So Friday morning, somebody in Wall Street Bets goes ahead and puts up this letter I'm going to go ahead and read. We're going to take a serious moment here in the show. We'll get back to the fun shit in a minute. But this kid goes ahead and puts this up, and you see shitloads of these letters up there. The letter goes like this. This is for you, Dad. I remember when the housing collapse sent a torpedo through my family. My father's concrete company collapsed almost overnight. My father lost his home. My uncle lost his home. I remember my brother helping my father count pocket change on our kitchen table. That was all the money he had left in the world. While this was happening in my home, I saw hedge funds literally drinking champagne as they looked down on the Occupy Wall Street protesters. I will never forget that. My father never recovered from that blow. He fell deeper and deeper into alcoholism and exists now as a shell of his former self, just waiting for death. This is all the money I have, and I'd rather lose it all than give them what they need to destroy me. Taking money from me won't hurt me, because I don't value it at all. I'll burn it all down just to spite them. This is for you, Dad. So the catch is that this is what you're seeing right now. In there, there's another letter another kid talked about where his parents went ahead and went through the exact same situation. And he was talking about having to eat tomato soup that was made from ketchup packets from a cafeteria down the street. So ultimately, you're seeing all of this sort of shit happen. And of course, while all of this stuff is happening, right, when the subject of garbage investments, pump and dump schemes, and an opportunity to ephemerally relevant, they all coalesce at the same time, you know that disturbance you're sensing in the force means that Justin's son is about to wedge his fat ass into the middle of it like a whiny little jealous kid looking for recognition and relevance, right? We all remember that stuff. Well, kids, true to form, hold on, let me throw the link in here. Justin's son decides that he's going to get involved in this. And now Justin's son tweets out, 1 million doesn't seem enough. I'll be buying 10 million GameStop instead tonight from Asia when the market opens. It's time to unite and squeeze out those greedy hedge funds. Wall Street Bets, 4 billion Asian community, and 20 million Tron community supports you. Let's do this. Fist up, right? And I'm thinking to myself, hey, smartass, if you go through Robinhood, you won't, Justin, because they've basically capped all purchases on GameStop now to 2 shares. And, you know, as always, your sense of timing is fucking impeccable, Jason, or Justin's son. Because why? Because also, Robinhood has shut down all the fucking buying of crypto instantly. So if you thought that somebody was going to go ahead and buy your shitcoin, Justin, so that you could go ahead and finance your like little revolution over here and pretend like you give a shit about the plebs, you know, it's kind of like...
How about new?
Not going to fucking happen, brother. So apparently the paid feature, instant buying, allows customers to transfer funds from a bank account and use the funds immediately before they've been settled. But, quote, due to extraordinary market conditions, we've temporarily turned off instant buying power for crypto. Robinhood said in a statement to Yahoo Finance, customers can still use settled funds to buy crypto. We'll keep monitoring the market conditions and communicating with our customers. So think about this shithole of a company that actually fucking did this, that has now put themselves upside down, and they're in a fucking disaster mode. And guess what, kids? While we're sitting here talking about it, the story continues and gets even better. So because of the fact that they have higher capital requirements through the clearinghouses, they can't go ahead and effectively float all of these shares that people wanted to buy before, and they're running into a problem because these clearinghouses won't allow them to do it. They're going to do everything they can to prevent it so that it doesn't liquidate all the people who have these fucking crazy-ass shorts, these massively leveraged shorts, most of which are naked shorts and have no business happening and they're illegal. But if they are taken out, it will wipe out the entire fucking economy in like a heartbeat, right? So you've got these they're protecting them effectively. So what they've done is they've capped them and shoved all that they can in terms of capital requirements. So Robinhood's like, well, fuck, what do I do? So what you're seeing right now is you're seeing a revolution, very much what like Ron was talking to earlier. This is just the beginning. So now Elon Musk is egging people on to effectively go on over-leveraged short hunts across all assets, everything they can find. And as a result, because of the capital requirements and because everybody's pissed off and has and class action files, lawsuits are being filed against Robinhood for the shit that they're doing, and now they've got massive capital requirements that they can't meet and they can't float shares like they did, this thing is spreading. And so now Robinhood has effectively turned around and said, we're going to cap 36 stocks so far, and the maximum you can hold in these stocks in the Robinhood platform is one share. So the stocks that they're going ahead and doing is it's a GM, Starbucks, freaking GameStop. I mean, just go down the list. If you open up that article, you'll get to see all the fun shit that's going on right now. So the question really becomes, now that this has become about something greater than I want return on value, I want fucking blood. And in Wall Street Bets, which, by the way, their entire membership on Reddit surged to 5.8 million people over a five-day period, right? Now you've got 5.8 million people that have money to spend, and they're willing to lose what they spend on these stocks simply to fucking stick it to the man. You're in a situation here that is unprecedented. Nobody is willing to part with shares these people need to cover margin. So this is going to be a fucking interesting time, kids. Who knows what's going to wind up happening? But you know something? It's awfully entertaining when you get to go ahead and see somebody put a little elbow grease on and just give it to the man for the first time. You know what I'm saying? So who knows? And the thing is, it's really a big question. It's how much do places like Citadel want to lose? And will they get bailed out? And even if they get bailed out, will they actually get the shares? How does this end? That's why you're seeing the SEC starting to get involved. So kids, we'll go ahead and keep up on this a little bit later. Too much seriousness, more fun is needed. We're going to get to it right after this break. Yeah, I mean, does anybody have any sympathy or feel absolutely any remorse or concern for any of these?
How about new?
Not at all, man. I find it fantastically awesome. Burn the whole fucking thing down. Hey, man, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. I'm the cultural attitude of the stars. You know the drill and all that sort of stuff. You're listening to Joculation. So we talked a little bit about Robinhood. I think we're done with that for the evening. If you want to catch up, catch some more stuff, Ron's asked me to be on a show on Monday. We'll talk a little bit more about that, and we can get into more depth. I think Ron wants to understand that the behind the scenes and how this particular shit pile in particular got built. I don't know. We'll get into it back, you know, over at that particular time. But let's go ahead and go and have some fun over here. You know, one of the ways that you know that you've actually made it big, right, that you're a freaking star, is when somebody decides they want to include your likeness in a video game. Right? That lets you know that you've actually hit that celebrity status. But you know how you know that you've actually become an absolute superstar? I'll tell you how. It's when somebody takes your likeness and they start creating, like, you know, mods to the game that officially allow players to have sex with them. So Cyberpunk 2077, a developer CD Projekt, banned an unofficial mod that allowed players to have sex with Johnny Silverhand, right? Say it isn't so, right? Say it isn't so. Oh, my God.
How dare you?
The reason why is this is an integral character in the game, and that character is played by Keanu Reeves, Mr. Dogstar himself, Mr. John Wick himself, that dude. So apparently, a modder who goes by the name of Cat Mino uploaded a mod to the Nexus Mods, which allowed players to have sex with Johnny Silverhand, the flamboyant rock star mercenary played by Mr. Keanu Reeves. Whoa. So what winds up happening is they had to put out this statement that basically says, for characters we've invented the game, we broadly permit you to tweak the game and just at will have fun. But when it comes to models of real people whom we've asked to participate in the game, we'd kindly ask you to refrain from using them in any situation that might be found offensive if you don't have their explicit permission. Yeah, somehow, Krim, I'm not surprised to see that you're like, yeah, fuck them. They're not going to be able to stop me. I'll go ahead and I'll do that. Yeah, I get the impression that that's the way that it's going to be anyways. They can go ahead and try and do that. And, you know, the article itself goes into the ingenious way in which they did this. So, I don't know, if you're a cyber nerd and you like all that, like, hacking and coding and shit, hey, man, jump inside there and see how they actually broke it down, because ultimately, you know what's going to happen, right? The gatekeeper's going to come, they're going to be like, no, you can't do that, delete the files, and then somebody else is going to go, oh, I know how that happened, let's go ahead and do that and make, like, about 60 other instances of this, so then that way nobody can really delete this, and they're going to be sitting there stomping away at mushrooms. And, you know, ultimately, is that thing going to work? I mean, you know.
No.
Do it, Grim. Yeah, you know what? I think Hacker Girl wants to go ahead and actually grab your profile or whatever, Grim, so that she can go ahead and have sex with Keanu Reeves as well. I mean, I'm not saying that that's the case. It just appears to be that that's the way. Because would she actually say, like, I don't want that? You know what I'm saying?
How about new?
Of course not. Everybody wants to have a little cyber sex every now and then. You know something? The other thing that people want to do is they actually want to have, like, I don't know, real sex. And the worst part is when somebody tries to tell you how, when, and what you do to go ahead and masturbate, right? Like, the University of Texas over here, for instance, they suggested a series of tweets that students should wear face masks during masturbation, even quipping that they should masturbate. So apparently masturbating, read below to learn more, that with, quote, with accompanying image suggesting that students with any COVID symptoms should skip sex and stay in. And I'm kind of like, no kidding, right? But an infographic emblazoned with the university logo read, masturbate, use face coverings during mutual masturbation to reduce your risk, while also suggesting students, quote, be creative with physical barriers and sexual positions to prevent close face-to-face contact, you know, like glory holes. So it went further and declared that students should wear masks during sex, but they need to pick a large, well-ventilated space for having sex, avoid kissing, and wash your hands before and after. I mean, what's this fucking unsexy, like, pardon me, honey, I need to wash my hands after we've gone ahead and done this. It's not that I think that you're dirty and filthy in some kind of a way. It's just, you know, COVID, right? I
mean, how dare you?
That would be fucking offensive, but I digress. So at any rate, the tweets were, like, immediately, if not sooner, removed because the university, quote, doesn't even want students to go near each other. So somehow, just by going ahead and putting the tweet out there, whoops, we fucked up. We're actually encouraging people to get together. You know what that came to mind as I'm sitting here looking at this? I'm sitting there thinking to myself that, thank God, the Pennsylvania Department of Health chief release guidelines on how to have creative, COVID-safer orgies and group sex gatherings over winter break last year before everybody came back to school. Because what would we have done otherwise, right? I mean, how could we have managed to circumvent and solve this dilemma that we'd wind up facing had we not gotten these guidelines? What would we do if Justin Trudeau and his administration didn't say glory holes are the way we need to go because that's safe sex in this particular period? You know what's great is that eventually somebody's going to go ahead and get a government subsidy for glory holes. And could you imagine, like, over in, like, the student conference convention area or whatever, over inside, you know, the Rathskellers over at the colleges and shit? Dude, they're just going to put up a bunch of, like, plexiglass walls with holes in them, a glory holes. And that is going to be sex and how we're going to go ahead and basically do this. They have safe sex fucking things anyways over at the universities. So I'm just sitting there saying, man, look, go out there and have some safe sex. Find other ways, right? Thank God we have some of these guidelines. And just in case anybody really gives a shit, and I doubt it, on top of all of this, we got some really fantastic news. Apparently, Red Lobster Lobster Fest is coming back, and it'll start on February 1st because what says fucking tinier like I can't understand what's going on culturally? Quite like, hey, are you broke? You have no house. Oh, you're in the middle of spending all your money trying to destroy hedge funds over on Reddit with Wall Street bets? Come on over and have some fucking Lobster Fest over here for $39.99 per person over at Red Lobster.
I mean, what the fuck?
Oh my God, man. Get a fucking clue. Get a fucking clue, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like, dude, you can't even get people inside the goddamn Red Lobster to begin with. And now you're sitting here with a fucking tin ear like, bro, hey, look, I know you're broke, but why don't you come over here? We could go ahead and eliminate that problem of, like, that, you know, ketchup fucking tomato soup and cafeteria stuff. Why go ahead and steal it from another cafeteria when we could make it for you over here and just take the rest of your life fucking savings for it? And you know what? We'll throw in some Oyster Crackers for free. That's fucking cognitive dissonance and the best. But hey, that's the world we live in. Isn't that fucking awesome? By the way, does anyone give a shit
about... How about new?
Yeah, whatever, man. I'll tell you what, man. I got to take a break because all the whiskey's almost gone. And you know what? There's still about another hour to go here. Guess what, kids? I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. You're listening. I'm the cultural attaché to the stars, the ringmaster of the shit show. You're listening to Joculation. Boy, it's a shit show, ain't it? Boom, man. Let me tell you something. Suicidal tendencies, yo. Hey, kids. It's LP Faust. It's your host. You know the drill. You're listening to Joculation. I just wanted to go ahead and take a moment to recognize the circle of intimacy that's sitting with us tonight.
That's one of us. Google Gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google Gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
We got people going in and out, but for the most part, basically we've got Al Dingo, we've got Al Pacino, we've got Gabriel, we've got Clay over here, we got Krim, we got Darsko, we got Ron, we got Hacker Girl, we've got El Gecko. Cool, man. We've got a group of people here, and we're all kind of just sitting here, shooting the shit, enjoying a Friday night, because do we try to solve the world's problems over here? Huh? Is that what we Absolutely fucking not. Let's try that again. Do we try to solve the world's problems?
How about new?
Fuck no, man, but we absolutely go ahead and make fun of them. Right? Because that's exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to sit here and cheer on Wall Street bets, going ahead and enjoying watching this catastrophe unfold. And basically watch it all burn down. You get to be your own personal Nero, right? Remember that song, Personal Jesus? No, you get to be your own personal Nero. You don't need to have a little fiddle as the hedge funds burn. But what you do need to do is go ahead and raise a glass and say, good job, guys. Keep it up, right? You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for somebody to go ahead and put a GoFundMe together to go ahead and help these guys over in Wall Street Bets. Just like if they could do something like with blockchain where they could effectively buy the shares and just park them there and never move them and actually have like no ability to move them, effectively take them off the market, right? Throw away the keys. Dude, that would be so fucking awesome. It would be the greatest like short squeeze in the history of like the market. But we'll have to see where all this is going. I'm sure Justin Tron will go ahead and make a shit token off of his like fucking blockchain to make sure that he can fund this and in some way turn around and write a blog about it on Steam, dump a bunch of Steam, and just make billions off of both. You know what I'm saying? Because that would be his style. But we won't even go there.
Oh, wow, man. I think I need a cigarette after that one. That was pretty freaking awesome. Actually, you know what? I'll take a whiskey instead. Hey, kids, it's Friday night. You're listening to Joculation, or maybe not, here on MSP Waves. Either way, I'm still joculating over here. You know what I'm saying? One of those types of things. You know what the best part is? We're rapidly approaching Crimson Clad's favorite moment in the show, where we get over into our lounge music moment, right? Where we're going to sit there and we're going to go ahead and enjoy a little bit of Red Peters and Richard Cheese here in just a little bit, because listening to them makes the world just so much brighter. You know what I'm saying? That you can never get enough Las Vegas lounge music type stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, uh-oh, we're checking a couple things. Oh, boy, are people going night-night now? Well, it is what it is, man. You can't win them all, I suppose. Sometimes we just got to go ahead and press forward as the circle of intimacy just goes ahead and wins off.
One of us, Google Gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us, Google Gobble, one of us.
So in case you've missed what we've been talking about with the show and all that sort of stuff, we went ahead and opened up the show with a few pieces and parts. Well, shall we take a look over inside of our show notes?
How about new?
Well, we'll go ahead and do it anyways, because holy shit, man, what a book. We talked about Dangerous Grounds. We talked about a whole bunch of stuff in there. We talked about the wonderful cultural treasures of Iceland, like smoked sheep's head and Icelandic reggae. Let's go ahead and just talk about that. You know, I'm not sure what I like more, Fyrstikkan ballads or Icelandic reggae, because like I say, you know, nothing says Viking conquering hero quite like fucking Rastafarian goodness over here. And I mean, the best part is they're wearing these tropical shirts and shit like that, and they're dancing around as pale as you could possibly get, pasty white pale. As they're doing their, you know, their reggae music, you know, culturally appropriating stuff from other places. But that's okay. We don't discriminate. It's all right, because, you know, Irish Cultural Appropriation Day is coming up over on March 17th. And I expect everybody to go out there and pretend to be Irish and go ahead and insult my culture as much as possible, portraying us as just a bunch of out of control drunks. But that's all right, man. Do we take any offense at all with that sort of stuff, Carlos? Not one.
No,
man. It's all a good time. At any rate, so that being said, we checked out some midnight snacks, which were a little bit frightening. You know, smoked sheep's head and shit. And then after we went ahead and looked at that, we talked a lot of Wall Street bets and the shit show that Robin Hood's becoming. And what's going on with the system, and oh my God, will it all implode? And we all sit there and say, hopefully, you know. Hopefully. So then at some point after that, we went ahead and took a look. I'm going through my notes here. Oh, we talked about the Keanu Reeves, you know, sort of like modification that was made over in Cyberpunk 2077. Apparently now over in the University of Texas, it's mandatory, or it's highly suggested, that Texas University students should wear masks even during masturbation. And then, of course, Lobster Fest is coming back over to fucking Lobster Fest because, you know, it's important to make sure that you've got that tin ear when everything is going to shit in the world. And we talked a little bit about how you can actually navigate the site and subscribe to things. But you want to know what's great is that just when you think that tin ear can't get any better, guess what, kids? Apparently, Kamala Harris's daughter, her stepdaughter, happens to go ahead and be picked up by Ella Imhoff over at IMG Models after being called a style icon. Now, I know what you're going to say. LP, are you seriously going to personally attack a bunch of people like these kids and all that stuff? And
No.
LP doesn't go ahead and do that sort of stuff. We just go ahead and poke fun at all the other things that are going on, right? So Ella Imhoff, Vice President of Vice President Kamala Harris's stepdaughter, just signed a modeling contract with IMG Models Worldwide. Now, this is the same place that basically has Hailey Bieber, I guess it is, whatever the fuck her name is, and Kate Kloss, I guess it is, and a few other ones. So she's currently a senior at Parsons School of Design, but allegedly she's a style icon, right? I mean, you know, when I went to school,
I mean, what the fuck?
I was a fucking accountant icon, right? But no, she's a fucking style icon while she's over in the equivalent of high school here. But it was her inauguration day look that catapulted Imhoff into the fashion limelight. She attended the historic event bedazzled. I love that word. In Miu Miu coat with a burgundy dress designed by Batsheva. And they started calling the 22-year-old a style icon. I'm going to stop there for a second. So let me get this straight. You didn't make the fucking coat. You didn't make the dress. All you did was somebody said, could you wear my shit to the fucking, inaugural gala, whatever the hell it is, and now you're viewed as a fucking style icon, huh?
I mean, what the fuck?
Wow. Wow. How about I just go ahead and fucking have somebody sit there and, like, draw a bunch of tattoos all over myself and call myself a fucking tattoo artist? And not just a tattoo artist, but, like, the fucking tattoo artist of the ages. I mean, get the fuck out of here, man. If this isn't plagiarism of some kind, I don't know what the fuck is. Oh, Hacker Girl's out of here. That's okay. Night-night. Oh, is it Richard? I don't know. Somebody's got to go, but I'm not. I'm not there quite yet. The whiskey's not all gone yet. So we'll just talk a little bit more about about cultural icons over here. So what winds up happening is, according to this article, her family, meaning Ella's family, was a bit, quote, protective of her when she first told them about her new venture. But they became supportive when they, quote, saw what's changing in the world of fashion. So let's dissect that for a second, right? They became, quote, protective when she was asked to sign, and then when they discovered that she was going to get paid more than enough in quid pro quo money that she now doesn't need to go ahead and worry, and the parents can go ahead and essentially make sure the kickbacks are flowing. Don't worry, man. We saw what change was happening in the world of fashion. Take care, Hacker Girl. So, that's effectively what that really means. So somehow a 22-year-old that is a senior over at Parsons School of Design didn't create anything, didn't really go ahead and put anything together in any meaningful way, has suddenly become a fashion icon, hasn't even graduated high school, but somehow signs on to one of the largest modeling agencies, is not really remarkable in terms of her looks, and even she admits it in the article, but coincidentally, she becomes a cultural icon the moment her stepmother becomes vice president of the United States. I'm sure it's just a coincidence. You know what I'm saying? Just a coincidence. At any rate, that being said, we got a little bit more after this break. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. I got to go get my smoking jacket and maybe a martini. We'll be back after this. Man, has it been a Friday night or what? You know what I'm saying?
Anybody having fun around here? Anybody think that this is popcorn time?
All we got left is about 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I hit the right one there. You know what's going on right now? Right now, the hedge funds are kind of sitting there thinking to themselves,
fuck you fucking fuckers.
And I'm just saying, it's like shit coins, bro. You got to go ahead and start somewhere, right? In order to go ahead and wipe out the masses, you got to go ahead to wipe out the whales. You got to go after the particular. You got to start somewhere. There's got to be a shit coin, some innocuous thing that nobody ever wanted. Doge, can you hear me? Something like that. No, that nobody gave a shit about. Get them all sucked in. Get the institutional money flowing in. And then just rug pull all in one shot. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down. Because
we've got to basically go ahead and effectively fuck all of them, right? Burn the motherfucker down. I'll tell you what. There is no stand-up comedian ever that could have created material that is just this good to go ahead and watch. And I'll tell you, the funniest thing ever. I am not very much into any of this astrology stuff, but the funniest thing happened. I got this thing on I guess it was over on Zero Hedge, where they basically did this whole astrological projection, because as I understand it, people that have huge amounts of money actually go ahead and have private astrologers give them long-term readings so that they'll know where to move their money. And there's actually allegedly some correlation with the nonsense that is spouted out over in these astrological readings and what actually happens. So What winds up happening is over on Zero Hedge, there was a thing that had talked about the new age of Aquarius that we're moving into. And because of the intersections and the degrees and how they hit, this one is particularly strong. And the next, I think the previous one started right around the early 1900s, and that this one is the next one in that group. Now, what's fantastically awesome about this is allegedly in this one, we're moving from the age of materialism into the age of idealism. And ultimately what winds up happening is material wealth no longer becomes a priority, if you will, to the average person that's out there. That's what this thing is alleging. And it said the significance of all of this stuff would come sort of to a head right in February. And I'm laughing because, what, a week before February, this whole, you know, shit show with fucking GameStop starts. And now it's looking like it's going to go into February. And guess what? Oh, my God. This is just absolutely fantastic. So this should be an absolute shit show of epic proportions. But we're not going to get into the shit show aspect. We're going to talk about really awesome fucking discoveries. Hey, Krim, I don't know if you've heard of this group, but there's a group out there called Dharma, and it's a heavy metal band. But it's distinctively different because apparently the front person of this happens to be a Buddhist nun. So a Buddhist nun actually wound up joining this heavy, this black-clad heavy metal band. And I didn't get a chance to go ahead and read much about it, but I'll tell you what, I found their album, right? They have a very one single out called Dharma. So you know what? I haven't heard this shit yet. By the way, good to see you, Jason. Glad that you slid in. I haven't had a chance to listen to this thing yet, so we're just going to go ahead and listen to this together and hope this isn't going to turn into a pool of explosive diarrhea. But we'll give it a shot, man. I mean, shit. What else are we going to do on a Friday night? All right, I'm thinking that's bullshit. Let me go ahead and actually try this link over here. So that's a sample of their music. And I was just like, dude, I've got to go ahead and do that. And by the way, Clay, unlike the rest of the world, there is gendered language that actually says Buddhist nun, and they differentiate between nuns and monks. So yes, she is a Buddhist nun, shaved head, all that stuff. Now, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think all Buddhist nuns are required to shave their heads. I don't know because, you know, hey, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have to claim cultural ignorance there. But lead singer Joe Henley, a 38-year-old Canadian, moved to Taiwan in 2005 on a college roommate's advice, met their drummer, and apparently now what they did is they smashed in and put in a Buddhist nun. Wow. All I can say is, holy fucking shit, you know? I need to go ahead and actually find more of their stuff. And put a solid 5 out of 7. I want to go ahead and hear the Buddhist nun shrieking at the top of her lungs like a fucking banshee. That's what I want to hear. But I don't know if that's the case. I'm not sure if the Buddhist nun is just busy ringing a ritual bell and like rattling, you know, a tambourine in the background, or if she actually is like, you know, hammering away on the drums, or maybe, you know, ripping off with a solo or whatever. Am I still muted from the Richard Cheese? Yeah. Whoa, shit, man. My mic just fell on my face. Hold on just a sec. Technical issues here. I mean, I guess that means I should put more Richard Cheese on, right? Hold on a minute. What in the fuck are you doing to me? That's okay. We don't have much left in the show anyway, so what difference does it make? All right, I got to find something here to go ahead and actually make this happen while I'm working on this thing. Hold on a second. Let me go ahead and grab, I don't know, a Suicidal Tendency song. That's always wonderful. Here we go, man. So, memo to myself, when the microphone goes ahead and falls out of its stand onto your face, just slip right into some Suicidal Tendencies because, you know, that's always a good thing to do. Yeah, I played a Mongolian nun metal song, and it wasn't a Mongolian nun, it was a Tibetan nun. So let's go ahead and get that right, you racist. So yes, it was a Tibetan nun. The group is called Dharma. And I don't know, man. I got to go check it out. Unfortunately, when I went and checked out the name Dharma over on Spotify, did the none come up on that one?
How about new?
Yeah, it did not. So I had to go ahead and actually hijack, listen to him, man. We're totally getting all the same citizenships and all that shit. Same. No. Oh, shit. Bree's actually figured out how to get in. Let's see if her racist internet connection will allow her to go ahead and sit around and listen to somebody who's of non-African origin. I'm sure that that'll go ahead and get shut down awfully quick. What do we think, huh? Of course, man. But that's okay. That's okay. We don't take it personally. And guess what? Frankie, number one, came in just in time to catch, like, the last 5 minutes of the show. But you know what? I promise it might be a passable 5 minutes. We'll have to go ahead and see whether or not the audio and everything else will go ahead and cooperate. You know how it goes. You want me to hit that for you, Ron? Hold on a second. Here you go.
How about new?
I've had enough suicidal tendencies. Dude, that never happens. There's never enough. You know what you didn't get enough of, Clay? You didn't probably get enough of Cancer Slug, and I agree with you on that. Hold on a second. I don't know, like, Cancer Slug for me, it's fun. It's cool. Honestly, I'm kind of more into the horror punk stuff. I would say that probably the thing that's got me lately is Murderland. I don't know why. It just, there's something about it that I actually like. But we won't get into all of that stuff because on this show, do we like talk about the esoterics of music and all of that sort of stuff in this show? I mean,
how about new?
We just put the loud shit on, we make sure it offends people, and then we go ahead and put all the humorous stuff in. That way we can offend people with that in the event that we missed out on offending them with the really loud, offensive punk rock music. So, you know, it isn't like we go ahead and actually have some, like, formulaic thing where we're trying to keep all the genres together so we can create some sort of, like, curated listening experience. Do we do that sort of thing over here, Carlos? I mean, I'm just asking.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Hey, Voids, that's like, I don't know. That's an interesting name, or Voids, or I can't even pronounce the name. Good to see you. You'll be, well, you get to catch like the last 2 minutes of this whole thing. So glad to have you here. Thanks for stopping by. Hey, Frankie One, thanks for actually stopping by also, you know. LP, couldn't you, I don't know, maybe offend more people? You know, I'm trying to be more inclusive and diverse. I feel inspired by the change that has swept the nation, and I'm looking for more ways to be inclusive and diverse in how I offend people. So I'm working on that. You know what I'm saying? I'm working on that. But unfortunately, my current group is not diverse enough for me to be able to go ahead and offend more people. But I'm working on that. I'm going to have to go ahead and reach out and find other people to become more inclusive so that I can offend more people. Reach out and touch people in that way that they absolutely can't stand. You know what I'm saying? Because the audience is just too big, right? We're looking for, like, circle of intimacy level stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's
one
just
us,
like,
okay. That's one of us. Uh-huh. Kubble Gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Kubble Gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
I mean, could you imagine if I actually promoted this show? I might actually be able to get two more people in here. Look out, man. I don't know. We'll be pushing maximum density in this room awfully quick. It'll be weird. What can I say, man? What can I say? Maybe one day, right? I could have my I have a dream message moment up here. And is that going to work out for us? I don't know.
How about new?
Or maybe we can offer, like, Fearstick in the warm-up slot so he can talk shit about me all before the show. That'll be fantastic. Not that he even knows who the fuck I am. But you know what I'm saying? We could just go ahead and, like, explore. We could explore possibilities. I mean, like, right before, the way the warm-up show used to be for this is we used to have somebody going ahead and doing power metal and having a whole bunch of conspiracy theories filled with pictures of babies in garbage bags. I mean, that was the warm-up show. It was absolutely awesome. I kind of feel like I'm just kind of left, like, dangling in the wind here. No one wants to go ahead and do a warm-up show for LP. See? But that's okay. That's okay. I own Fridays, bitches. Oh, look at what time it is. It's time to go. That's all there is tonight, kids. There is no more. To everybody that came by and stopped by and went ahead and hung out, thanks for stopping by. To everybody that came by, stopped by, left, but still hung up, thanks for hanging out. And fuck all of you. Catch you next week. You know how it goes, man. William Shakespeare once said, "All the world's a stage as we strut and fret across the stage of life." Always be sure to ask yourself, why watch a show when you can be the show? I'm LP Faust. This is Joculation. Check you out next week.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.